Oh my gosh! They have killed Kinney on the Supergirl After Show! This is Season 3, Episode 6, Midvale! Stay tuned!
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV! And now, let the buzz begin!
Hey guys! Welcome back! Supergirl After Buzz. I am your host, Tari J. Miller. I am doing this sweet, sweet intro. Best intro ever.
You nailed it, Tari. Get
thank
it.
Thank you.
I can hear things.
I'm Tari J. Miller. And I'm joined by the whole panel. Gang's all here. Stephanie Winger.
Hi, guys. Good to be back with you. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Stephanie Winger.
Alex Michael.
Hi. I'm actually here and everywhere at the Lex Michael.
Joelle Monique.
Hey, guys. I'm Joelle Monique. You can find me all over the internet at Joelle Monique and every week at blackgirlnerds.com.
And Lucretia Lyon.
Hey, guys. I'm Lucretia Lyon. You can always find me at LACRETIALYON anywhere on the internet since there is only one.
Dope. If you've never seen Smallville, that was the opening to Smallville, which was a long-running series starring Tom Welling as young Superman, which is basically what this episode was, where it was young Kara in Midvale, I think, which was a definite nod to Smallville. We even got some Smallville references episode. So what did you guys think generally?
I loved it!
Oh!
I love flashback episodes. I love standalones. If you haven't gotten episode 7 of season 2 of Stranger Things, it was my favorite. No spoilers. But I love standalone episodes. I love when we get into backgrounds of characters. I like when we see how people have evolved, and I like when young actors look like old actors and also embody their thing. Like it just worked for me.
Okay, all right.
Wow,
we're starting out real good on the Joelle side. Who else got opinions?
So I really loved what this episode was all about. Like I love sweet stories, and this was one of the sweetest episodes of Supergirl I feel like we've had over the course of the series. But my issue with it was that it just didn't fit with what's been happening in the entire season. And you're right, it is a standalone, and I appreciate that for what it is, but this almost felt like a backdoor pilot to a completely different show. It felt very Veronica Mars and like solving mysteries,
or like Supergirl's young Sheldon.
Yeah, like it was just a very different show.
Coming
and it's not that I dislike that show, it's just not what I have come to expect from Supergirl.
Can you tell it? I've never seen young Sheldon.
Yes, but continue.
Yeah, Lex doesn't watch young versions of other shows.
Yeah.
He hates teenage versions of people he loves.
He's never seen Smallville, guys.
That's actually true. Yeah. I have never seen a single episode of Smallville. And now that we have a world where Tyler Hoechlin plays Superman and it's Superman, I feel like, do I need to go back? This is a genuine question. Do I need to actually go back and
we will highlight seasons
okay.
and
10
episodes
seasons
for
worth
you.
Of content?
I just started watching it, and I had seen it before, and we all know how I feel about there, you know, that's the only real Lex Luthor is on Smallville is Michael Rosenbaum, which, you know, two freaking lines, seriously, that didn't have anything to do with him being handsome and charming.
But we did get a reference to Lexo suits, which made me very happy.
Yes.
That's fun.
Okay, I guess since I'm
already... And those exist in Smallville.
Right, it's like since I'm already just talking about stuff. So I had overall mixed feelings about this episode. I think the episode itself was really great. There was a lot in it that was very, very strong. I'm not super hot on flashbacks in general. I'm actually quite pleased that we finally cycled out of the flashbacks on Arrow. I don't particularly miss them. I liked this episode. I don't know that I would have made the call to drop this in the season right here when we're trying to build momentum. I almost feel like this would be a really interesting, like if you build to the mid-season finale, right, and it's a big cataclysmic, like something at stakes crazy, crazy high. I feel like this might have been a nice like entr'acte back into the story. I just feel like this was not, it was placed oddly.
Interesting. Yeah. I feel like it was placed perfectly.
Yes.
Because the last episode that we got, we had the big sad breakup, but we also had the first essentially planting of flags between Supergirl and Edge. And so I feel like before we start getting really into that storyline, we might... It's good to have a reset where we can essentially have the Kara and Alex making their way back to the people that we know and love beyond their grief. So I liked that because with the Kara and Alex we got at the beginning where Alex is essentially drowning herself in alcohol and the Kara who's still essentially trying to be inhuman or more than human, more human than human, one might say.
Yes.
But you wouldn't Rob's for copyright infringement. Yeah. I think that this was probably the best place they could have had it.
I agree. I really like it. And I think it sets us up super nicely for the future of them solving crimes together, which is something we haven't really been fully vested in this season because obviously they're both dealing with emotional traumas and trying to get through that. So I really appreciate having like a Veronica Mars / Nancy Drew-esque episode where we've got young girls solving crimes and being held up at gunpoint. Like, that's amazing.
Well, I feel like that is an amazing show that I would absolutely watch. It's just not a Supergirl episode.
It's totally... Yeah. It's a young Supergirl. I'm so confused.
I will say, there was that line at the very end of the episode when we go back to the telescope outside and Alex has that line about how this is the best gift we've ever received as a reward for solving a case. And that line made me go, I want to see the Danvers sisters just doing mysteries every week. I could handle it. Give me a young crypto dog.
Like, I want it.
Yes.
That needs to happen, the young crypto dog. But as someone who's a big Veronica Mars fan, I will say this was definitely the best Veronica Mars episode on the CW since, you know, that was where season 3 was. But yeah, and that was the thing, is it didn't
Slick
really...
Burns by LaCretia.
I loved Veronica Mars. I don't know what you're talking
about. I
love
Veronica Mars, but season 3 had its issues, and they're called Piz.
Whoa!
I'm actually on Team Piz. I feel like of all the dudes Veronica was with, I think Piz was probably the healthiest for her. Welcome to your AfterBuzz TV Veronica Mars After Show.
It is Logan, or it is nothing, you bitches.
Many years, dude.
She's correct.
I am serious about that shit.
What's funny is it took this much time. We basically just started our show. I'm already coming around even further on this episode. I actually think, in terms of the placement, I think what's bugging me a little bit is I feel like we had to scramble to do a lot of story things in the first few episodes, especially with Floriana Lima leaving the show. A lot of it felt a little bit disjointed, and even though I thought the actresses played it beautifully, some of it felt a little bit like, okay, we have to write her out somehow, and it felt a little abrupt to me, and I think that's a lot of it. It felt a little disjointed to me already, and then I feel like we stopped.
Okay.
Well, yeah. I could see this more if we had, like, a holiday flat, like, a little more holiday in it as, like, a really nice holiday episode for Supergirl. Like, kind of a flashback between what they're doing now. And I just wanted a little more now with the flashback. I think that would have helped a lot.
I will say morning came too soon. They're like, I spent the night and now it's fine. Let's drive home. I was like, did you guys share a dream?
Yeah.
Like, does it feel like they had a shared dream about their past? And they're like, oh, now I'm at peace at where we're at now. Yeah. A little more connection might have benefited the episode.
Yeah, I think if there were a few more scenes of them as adults and then getting that flashback, I could have really helped me and kind of placed it better into our Supergirl universe.
Hmm. So let's dig into the meat and potatoes of this episode, which was 10 years ago, which was 2007. They were both in high school, from what I could tell. And essentially, this is the point where Kara is hiding her powers. She doesn't get along with Alex because Alex resents her for being born, basically, or being adopted. And then we have a murder mystery that happens upon them that brings them together.
I will say right up top, these young actresses that they got to play young Kara and young Alex were spectacular.
Oh, yeah.
Really great.
Yeah,
because so many, like, everybody listening, I'm sure, has watched a show, maybe even a show that you love, where they do a flashback, whether it's a whole episode or one scene, and you might like the performance that the kid is giving, but you sit there going, there is absolutely no possible way that kid grows into that adult.
Right.
Does not track. I think they cast these girls perfectly.
Perfection. Oh, yeah.
I mean, incredible casting, and also just thoughtful characters. I felt like it wasn't just like trying to be like little versions of what we see every week. It was like they were their own identity, and then they've grown into these people, mm-hmm. which I think is also unusual.
Since Game of Thrones last season with the whole sister debacle and how do we talk about sisters and how they fight and how they talk, we just won't do it. Silliness. I really appreciate seeing like real flesh and blood like teenagers on television doing like actual teenage things. I thought the conversations and the way they handled themselves were very authentic, and that's something I appreciate, especially coming from a feminist show. To see like real, like what does a real 14-year-old girl act like and behave like? It's important.
Yeah. None of it felt sanitized, like especially Mm-mm. with this jock who becomes the red herring suspect. Like that dude is vile. Like he behaved, but vile in a way that is realistic. Okay. If you've been to high school, you've known people like that. But I feel like a lot of shows might walk that back a little bit.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think that one of the main standouts for me was the new Kara. As you may or may not have noticed, they recast young Kara. So, like, even in the beginning promos, since the beginning of this season, they've switched to this new young Kara. And I think that she, one, looks way more like our Kara. And two, I think that she has her mannerisms down pat, which I think really helps sell it. I mean, what do you think, Lucretia?
Yeah, I really loved the little actress that was young Kara. She was great. And I really liked that we sort of saw Kara evolve, because showing her with a little bit of a bigger ego as a teenager and kind of bratty was much more interesting, because Kara's tend to be a little, you know, tends to be a little perfect sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it was good to see this different side of her, and I thought that it tracked really well as what she would have been at that age. And I thought, you know, and the chat said as well, it's like she'd be a perfect Sabrina on Riverdale, right?
Yeah.
Well, we know how the CW likes to use actors over and over again if they can.
That's true. Now that you mention it, I did really like the fact that the car that we get at the beginning of the episode was so intent on being a superhero, she was like, I don't need an education.
Yeah.
Humans are dumb anyway, so like...
Yeah. We've been doing calculus since we were four. Okay, little girl, you just calm it down.
Right.
You still need to know things. And so I like that she brushed off history. It's like, why?
Yeah.
I need to know this. You want to help these people? You don't know anything about them, Kara? Mm.
But that's also so realistic. Like, that's the that's the same type of arrogance that I feel like every kid in high school has. Like, it all felt so honest.
Mm-hmm.
It's also good to see Alex go back to her science roots. I forget frequently how like much of a scientist Alex was before she started getting into the DOJ and doing things like that. I don't know. I really like this episode, guys.
With this mystery, we had Kenny, who was essentially, he had a big crush on Kara.
Poor Kenny.
And then he got shot for snooping.
Got murked, man.
Which I actually didn't see coming. I thought he was going to be in the style of Smallville. I thought he was going to be like a creature of the week. Like, they kept really hitting this idea of him being invisible. They're like, oh, man, it'd be weird to be invisible. Feel invisible. And so I thought that they were going to have him be like some kind of like special, and Carl was going to have to take care of him. But like, we got straight up child murder in this episode.
I do think there was a moment later in the episode where, spoilers, it was the sheriff, where he's got Alex at gunpoint. And there's this moment where, of course, you know, we've been watching this show now for 2+ years. We know that Alex is still alive and more or less fine in a decade. But actually, offing Kenny, I feel like really creates an environment where, even though you know that these two characters are essentially shielded, it does feel a little bit like no one is completely safe.
Yeah.
Well, I think it shows kind of the pros and cons to having Kara in your life, right? So Kara can save you if you're Alex, but there was nothing she could have done for Kenny, right? Like, she didn't know enough at that point. And so you kind of are seeing how she's starting to put her puzzle pieces together.
Yeah. Well, and you see how a young Kara falls in love, which I thought was very sweet.
The sweetest.
The whole, like, the idea of him, again, spoilers, knowing who she was from the get-go and trying to connect with her on that level to be like, what do you think about, like, people from different planets, maybe? What is that like? Huh? Kind of almost makes me wish Kenny had lived. Like, I think if this was a backdoor pilot, I would have had Kenny live and be her, like, tech sidekick.
Well, yeah. I feel like, if this was a backdoor pilot, that is a relationship I want to see more of, right?
So much more of. So and his parents more. Are so sweet.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. But it was, it's interesting because you kind of see the catalyst for both where Kara and Alex, kind of the police force, and where kind of how Kara becomes what she is as well through this episode. So that I agree. That's very interesting. And it is like your origin story.
Yeah. What did you guys think about John in the midst of this, while everyone's trying to convince Kara to not use her powers? John decides to come in as an FBI agent who looks exactly like her mom, who was also recast. So if you're wondering, the actress who originally played Kara's mom in the last two seasons, she's on Broadway, so she couldn't come back for the season. So they recast her along with the new Kara.
Yes.
With Laura Benanti was replaced by Erica Durance, who was Lois Lane on Smallville.
That's right.
Yeah. Yes.
No, where did it go? Where did it go? John. Yes, okay, this actress. Yes, this actress who is playing this agent that John is using as a guise.
Yeah.
Really excellent one-scene performance by this actress, I thought. Like, I actually got really into what she was doing in that scene, despite being very puzzled about what was happening in this scene. And I had this moment, and I told you guys after the reveal happened, and I was like, y'all have no reason to take me at my word on this. But about midway through the scene, I started to go, but if she's, like, not Martian Manhunter or something, what is going on here? And, of course, she sits down in the car, and it's Martian Manhunter, and I did a little dance.
See, right. I initially, as soon as I saw her, I was like, oh, it's John. I'm like, it's Martian Manhunter, because why? I mean, there was no other explanation to me, though.
Yeah, it's the only reason why she would look exactly like Kara's mom. Yeah.
Yeah.
But what a great way to try to have an influence on a child, to be like, look, we cannot reach you at all, but we know you're homesick, we know you're missing your family. We're going to show your dead mother to you, talking and giving you advice, and it's going to be totally fine. In one way, there's like, it's like a very weird manipulation technique. But on the other hand, it's so great to know that, like, Jean's always been there. That's such like a warm, cozy feeling, like, enveloped me. I was like, Jean's always just loves her
hanging
so
out,
much.
Gaslighting,
interesting. Yeah, it's not creepy.
A little creepy.
You were selling it as like this really nice thing, but how would you like it if someone basically wore your mom's
it's
face?
It's a shapeshifter gaslighting you with the traumatic memories of your departed loved ones.
Yeah, it's like
don't use your powers.
It's the what were you called? The blood eagle of trolls.
Should we segue into talking about Vikings?
Speaking of blood eagles.
Okay, so yeah, I know that we diverted onto a Veronica Mars tangent a couple of minutes ago, but we're all like really, we nerd out super hard, and we're all big fans of these really big epic shows, and I wanted to real quick talk to you guys about Vikings, because I don't know if you guys are keeping up with Vikings.
I am.
I know, Joel's a really big Vikings fan. Vikings. So, like, season 5 is coming up. It's starting at the end of the month. It's starting November 29th. It's a Wednesday. And season 5, so I don't... You know, you're up on it where we left off, right? So season 5 begins with Ivar the Boneless asserting his leadership over the Great Heathen Army, while Agurtha reigns as Queen of Kattegat. Ivar's murder of his brother Sigurd sets the stage for vicious battles to come as Ragnar's sons plot their next moves after avenging their father's death.
It's going down.
Bjorn... Do Bjorn. You like Bjorn.
The lovely.
You're super into
talented,
Bjorn.
Well,
Bjorn,
wonderful.
Okay, so Bjorn is going to follow his destiny into the Mediterranean Sea, and Floki, who's suffering from the loss of his wife Helga, will take to the seas, submitting himself to the will of the gods. And this season is full of startling alliances and unbelievable betrayals, a lot of stuff that you're not going to see coming as the Vikings fight to rule the world. This season's got your Jonathan Rhys-Meyers.
He is coming!
Season's got your Jonathan Rhys-Meyers. He's joining the cast as Bishop Haman this season. It's only 10 episodes long, so like you can get through that. It's really cool, like concise storytelling. And check this out, right? History's hit drama series, Vikings. Mm. We'll be back with a 2-hour season premiere November 29th at 9/8 Central on History. Joelle, who will rise?
I don't know who's going to rise.
No, for real, Joelle, who will rise? Like, it's a show that does stuff to your emotions.
Yeah, it does. Like, you want to say Ivar, but, like, he's just in such a good place coming out of last season that seems way too obvious, and I know they're never going to give us the obvious answer. I'm not in a comfortable space enough to predict on Vikings yet, but I am super excited, and I want more torture. I really appreciate historically accurate torture scenes.
And you also like a Jonathan Rhys-Meyers.
I mean, who does as a bishop too? Like sexy, but you can't. I'm about this.
Well, and there's that Tudors connection, right? Because it's also Michael Hurst.
Yeah.
So it's the old Tudors bridge.
All the way back in the history.
Well, no, I put it together that it actually makes a ton of sense that they'd be able to bring Jonathan Rhys-Meyers over because there's a working relationship there. Anyway, all right, I'm excited. High five.
TV nerds.
Awesome. So, yeah, great. And you can help us get more sponsors like Vikings on History by popping us to the top of the charts. All you got to do is go on iTunes, hit that 5 stars, say, I'm doing this for Supergirl, and Supergirl's amazing, 5 stars, and we read it here on
enough 5 stars in your cup.
This sweet, sweet
It took me
show.
A second. Like, Joel's just like, how's that cup looking? And I was like, it looks like a mug. What's up? Is it broken? And then I was still thinking about Jonathan Rhys-Meyers.
Yeah. Aren't we all?
So, yes, we have managed to synthesize effectively 5-star reviews into a liquid. I've been adding protein powder to it.
Yes.
I've been doing it after I bench press a little bit, and then I drink my 5 stars. It's really rejuvenating. But yes, it is. They're rare. Mm-hmm. It's very difficult to cultivate them en masse. So any additional 5-star reviews that you want to throw our way, it's not just helping me. I'm not the only one afflicted with this particular condition. This is real. 5-staritis is real.
Yeah. When we switched bodies last week, I got a little bit of it as well.
I'm sorry about that.
Hey, it happens. Anything that I can do to get you free and onto the show, I'm willing to do it,
dude,
man.
One day, we're going to have a lengthy conversation where we fill everybody in on how exactly you rescued me from the Speed Force. Because, guys, I got to tell you, this is a harrowing tale with a ton of twists and turns. It's like Vikings. It's like an episode of Vikings. So many twists and turns, shocking betrayals. We will tell you one day about Tari saving me from eternal damnation within the Speed Force. But today is not that day.
Yes. Before we do, we have to jump to a flashback. A flashback of Supergirl solving mysteries with her younger sister. Older sister.
Ugh. Things are happening.
I mean, technically, how does time work anyway? I mean, how old... Kara is technically the same age as Superman. She was just left in a... basically a timeless void. So she is older than Alex.
Technically, she has more years of experience.
More, yes.
Mm-hmm. But she was mostly unconscious during that.
Well, yeah. She said she remembers Krypton. She remembers being alone in the pod. Then she wakes up on Earth.
Right. So I wonder how long, I mean, presumably that the intervening number of years, but I wonder how long she was in the pod before going through maybe a wormhole of some variety and waking up on our planet.
It seemed like immediate that she went through the wormhole, and then basically almost immediately she just came out on the other side and time had passed. You know, wormholes. Do I need to do the old thing where, okay, so
are you gonna do the Victor Garber multiverse theory?
Yeah.
All right.
So wormholes work by folding time and space.
Is that your Victor Garber?
And then no.
It sounds like
this is just my old scientist.
Colonel Sanders. Or Foghorn Leghorn.
Time works.
That does sound more like Foghorn Leghorn than Victor Garber.
This is my Victor Garber. Time works indubitably.
Jefferson.
And then you put it just. And then that's how you make a time thing. Anyway,
for anyone who's listening,
I hope that people can read those notes, by the way. They've got some funny stuff on there.
Listening, I just put a pin through a folded piece of paper to illustrate how wormholes work.
That was really traumatizing to be next to.
But was it as traumatizing as Alex being held at gunpoint?
No. It wasn't. So did you guys see this mystery? Did you guys see the sheriff being the bad guy from the beginning? Or at what point?
He was definitely on the list for me.
Okay.
It kind of felt like that's where we were heading. And then once he was walking her into that room, you knew it was not going to end well.
I thought we were going to double down on the pedos at first, and I was very afraid. I was
double
like,
down on the pedos.
Get
still
out
not
of
the
there.
First thing said today.
Geppetto.
speaking of, I almost forgot about that storyline. There's a storyline that is basically about a student sleeping with a teacher.
Yeah.
A Veronica Mars alum, by the way. David Tom, who was Chip, the douchey frat guy.
That's right.
Recurring character.
Nice. Yeah. I've never seen that show.
You're a bad person.
But I know.
There's a wonderful... he has a wonderful nonverbal moment where the girl comes in and says, Alex Danvers knows, and he just... silent... almost like his face turns into a stone monolith, and it's just, oh, no. It's over.
Well, I just feel like, yeah, I mean, you see those photos, and then he's the obvious, like, suspect number one, right? Yeah. This teacher. But that's too obvious. You know on a CW show, it's never the first suspect. Like, that's not what's going to happen.
It's actually never the diddly teacher, but David Chisholm, who was who was the sheriff, he is always the killer when he's usually in a show. And so, you know, that's the thing, guys. Some of us watch a lot of serial television. We don't really have lives. So.
Typecasting spoilers.
Yeah, guys.
Well, sometimes you cast an actor that's known for a certain type of character in a seemingly ancillary role, and it's like, right. What are they doing there if this is all they're doing?
And I thought it was the dad.
Oh, did you?
Just because he was not happy. Like, the mom was, like, very moody, and she was like, this is really traumatizing, of a single tear with her, and the dad is just, like, stone silent. Yeah. And I was like, I wonder what's happening there. But he was just, you know, grieving.
Yeah, Joel, I don't know if you know this, but men don't show emotion. Men, when we feel things, we internalize them. And then
that's just because you're conditioned to, and I want men to know that it's okay to cry.
It's true.
You know, I really don't like you gender normalizing being dead inside, guys. Like, you know, as a woman who, I mean, Garen and I dress like Iron Man, but you know, I like to push my feelings down as well. So, like, it's not just a man thing.
Okay. And I will cry at literally anything.
I have seen the Flash season one finale at least four times, and I have wept like a baby at least four times.
Okay.
Sometimes I think about it, and I start to cry.
Well, Guardians of the Galaxy 2 makes me cry.
Every time. Yep. Every single time. Even when I'm half watching it. Every time.
Yeah. Every time.
Is this a dad thing?
It's the end. It's basically the triple emotional punch of the ending.
Okay. Yeah,
without spoiling.
I cry, and then I cry harder, and then I'm literally on the floor.
Like, y'all don't know how much I love Rooker, then, if you didn't know.
I cry at Lego Batman, so it's okay.
I get it.
Yeah. We all have our movies that bring us to tears. It's
you're,
okay.
You're learning so much about us tonight.
Yeah, guys. What makes me cry?
You may think that you're watching This Is Us, but...
thing for me is, like, it's almost, not entirely, but almost exclusively comic booky stuff that makes me react that way every time I see it. Plenty of other things will evoke an emotional response, but it's this, like, a goofy, like, big, larger-than-life mythological stuff that every time, for some reason, I'm just like, okay, I can't.
It's kind of my response to when Supergirl bursts through the gym wall, and it's like seeing Wonder Woman take down the bell tower all over again, where it's just like, yes, ladies, get it!
Wonder Woman also saw it multiple times, cried multiple times.
Every time. I can't not cry at that movie.
Fight me. I don't care.
It's hard.
I cried so much.
He'll cry if you fight him. Don't do it.
I will definitely ask you politely to stop. Please, sir or ma'am, stop striking me.
This explains so much about why you like Piz now, so.
Alicia needs gun sound every time she does a slick burn.
I got my finger guns back, guys.
All right, I'm wrangling this.
We were talking about Supergirl at one point.
Yep.
I just wanted one more, to call out one more Smallville reference, which was the Wall of Weird and the use of Chloe.
Yeah.
Which was really nice.
Even I got that. Yeah, I got that, and I haven't seen any of Smallville. Although, everybody looking around at each other going, tipped it a little bit.
Really?
Yeah, okay.
Like, that one was clear to me.
Yeah. I was like, oh, this is probably a reference to that other young super person program.
Yep. Oh, Teen Titans?
That's
Gotham?
Yep. Got it. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that one too.
Fun fact, Smallville was actually supposed to be Gotham. And then they wound up picking Superman because of Batman Begins coming out.
That's
so, fun fact.
Sure. Yeah.
Nice. I learn things by listening to people's podcasts.
But you also learn something from
this podcast. No, I was like this one.
All right. So does anyone else have anything else before we move into predictions?
Mom was super dope.
Every time Helen Slater comes back, it makes me very happy.
I really liked the morning breakfast scene because it felt like it was yanked straight from my childhood of, like, please stop fighting over the bathroom and please stop yelling at each other and just eat your food and make sure your sister's okay, but also, like, get out of my house because you have to go to school. she's
very relatable. She's
amazing. Amazing performance from her.
Yeah. I agree. I just really, all of the scenes with adult Alex and Kara, I really appreciated. It felt very relatable. It's like, we're all, like, I'm heading home for the holidays. Like, it's something you definitely understand when you're all back in that house together. Yeah.
And the fact that they so feel like a family, and it feels so genuine and so connected, even without Jeremiah there when we see the girls when they're younger. Things as simple and relatable as, you know, your sibling beats you to the bathroom. But of course, when your sibling is Supergirl, she can beat you to the bathroom every day. And you're going to be like, you're the jerkiest jerk that ever was jerky. Yeah. Because it felt so, nobody was commenting. Within the family unit, nobody was commenting really on the powers in a way that didn't feel like this is just our we love you, this is our interpersonal relationship.
Yeah.
I like that a lot. I like the family cohesion.
Well, and too, that was something that was always missing from Smallville is how Clark would react to a sibling, which would have been really interesting. And that's why I like that they're doing this. Because me and my brother are still really close. Hell, at LA Comic Con, we were pushing each other into the walls and we're adults.
It's true, I saw it.
So yeah, that you still do that.
Yes. Can we also take a second before we get into predictions to salute our Supergirl and her incredible real life Supergirliness? Did you guys see her Facebook post?
I did.
Yes.
So if you haven't been following all of the sexual abuse allegations coming out, one of the producers for Arrow and Supergirl has been outed by 19 women. Mo Ryan over at, I believe, Variety wrote the article. It's an incredible article if you want to go through and read it and hear the testimonials of the people who were abused. But then Melissa comes out and she basically says, you know, I work for a show where feminists are the central focus and feminist ideals are something that we're promoting, but we're not always going to be getting it right behind the scenes, and that we hope that we take this opportunity to do better in the future, and that we want Supergirl to remain a incredible safe space for telling these kinds of stories. And I just thought that it was incredibly brave of her to come out and speak at all. It's very easy just to not say anything and just be like, well, we got him, and so that's, you know, good. But she wanted to address it and take the time to do it, and I was proud of her. I thought that was kind of amazing.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. And Chris Wood also spoke out tonight on his Instagram, so definitely check that out as well.
I saw that Emily Bett.
And Katie Lotz as well. Yeah.
So it's these casts have all been speaking out, and, you know, it's so important. It's such a big issue in Hollywood and beyond right now. It's something that needs to be addressed.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
So let's move on. Predictions!
Back to the jokes!
Wormhole.
Was anyone super upset when we got the preview for next week?
So in the next episode preview, we have the return of Mon-El.
Yeah.
But he's suspicious, so they're keeping him under lock and key.
He's got a beard. That's how you know he's untrustworthy.
That's true.
Know that my angst does not come from the return of Mon-El. I'm happy to see Mon-El back. My angst comes from the fact that the whole episode, and the whole reason I was excited is like, oh my God, sisters are back. They're solving crimes together again. Pardon, Mon-El.
And
this is going to derail all of the healing we just got done doing.
Right, it seems like we did. We both cycled out of our relationship grief, and suddenly it's going to be thrown right back in Kara's face.
She's like, I am doing better. And that is somewhat dramatically interesting to be like, just as soon as you think you're, like, free and getting better and, like, moving on to a happier place, like, here comes your ex to spiral you out of control.
I mean, that's how it happens.
It does happen, but you know? I'm also not very happy about it because I wanted sister detectives.
It doesn't have to stop them from being sister detectives. I mean, there's a chance that it's an imposter. There's a chance that it is, that he can't stay. Like, there are all these possibilities. What do you guys think these possibilities are?
What I would really like to see is mystery solving sisters, and I really want to see Jean and his father run a small business together. The rest of it, I could, like, we can move the rest of these pieces around, but, like, if that was the two main plots going through the rest of the season, I am so there for it. Seriously,
it's like an antique car shop.
If they'll let us, yeah.
I'm so happy.
I would know. We've talked about this. What I desperately want is Jean and his father essentially in Sanford and Son with Martians.
That would be the greatest show of all time, guys.
Right?
This is not a prediction so much as just a deeply held desire of mine.
Writers are listening. This would please us.
But I do want to see more of them. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see what Mon-El's return does to Kara's emotional state, and then also what it does to the dynamic of the team and what happened to Mon-El in the time that he has been gone. He certainly looks a little bit worse for the wear. So how will the team address it?
I don't think this is Mon-El.
No?
Ooh.
I don't think it's Mon-El. I think it's a head game. I think we're going to get Mon-El, the real Mon-El, back soon. There's a lot of questioning, a lot of I don't know what's happening here that we're seeing in the preview. We know a lot of people are coming after Supergirl. A lot of people are coming after Supergirl, and they're not pulling punches anymore. I think I don't think it's real.
Okay. All right. What about you, Stephanie?
Yeah, I'm not sure where it's going to go with him. I'm excited to see him return, though. I think that it's been a long time coming.
Yeah. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of smoochy high fives.
I mean, who doesn't want that?
Girl, I know.
Smoochy high fives.
Yeah. I love the way you put it. Yeah.
That's what they do, guys. Lucretia, you got any sweet predictions?
I predict that this is Mon-El, but I don't feel like this is going to be like, oh, yay, everything's happy, they're back together. Mm-hmm. There's always some sort of problem, and maybe, it's medical, especially being that, they put lead into the Earth's atmosphere, and now he's back, and, that would be more interesting than for them to just get back together and sort of have him deal with maybe some limitations because of these. Maybe he's not strong, and he feels inadequate against Kara, I want to see something more like that, not just like a quick fix. Since we did have all this emotional crap that they dealt with this episode, it's kind of lame to we're fine now.
More stuff blowing up. More punching.
Yeah.
More mystery busting.
Uh-huh.
More Martians.
Yeah.
Martians.
Enter the show, Misters. Yep. It's sisters and mysteries put together. M-Y-S-T-E-R.
Or how about sisteries? Yes.
Sisteries! I like
that
it better.
Sounds too
I
feel close like to way ovaries, better. And now I'm just very...
Ooh, and like sis...
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. No, we're going to workshop it.
Okay, all right. Yeah.
Next week.
Make sure you have your title together for this sister mystery show. Until then, make sure that you are... subscribe to, I believe it's DC Weekly on iTunes now, so subscribe to one of the three feeds, and you will get this show every Monday at 10 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. And thank you for joining us. Panel, where can they find you?
You can find me at Stephanie Wenger all over the internet.
I am all over social media at TheLexMichael. I'm also here at AfterBuzz on Tuesday nights talking about Legends of Tomorrow with Lucretia and a couple other cool people. Am I plugging this or are you plugging this?
You can plug it.
I'm going to plug it. I also do a show with Tari J. Miller. It is called Missing Out. I don't want to speak for you. I'm fairly proud of it.
Oh, it's great.
It's a show where essentially Tari and I had different cultural experiences growing up. We were exposed to different forms of media at different times, different movies, different books, different albums, different TV. We share pieces of media that we feel the other one is missing out on, and we talk about it. It is, as we like to say, it is the retrospective that's introspective. We've already had your Lucretia Lyon on the podcast as a guest. We're going to get Joelle and Stephanie in as soon as possible. Check it out. It is all over wherever you find your podcast. It's on the iTunes. It's on the Stitcher. It's on the Google Play
Store.
That one.
Yeah.
And on Twitter at Missing Outcast. Come check it out.
Hey guys, I'm Joelle Monique. You can find me all over the internet at Joelle Monique every week at blackgirlnerds.com. This week, very late Tuesday or super early Wednesday, depending on the time zone you live in, I interviewed Ray Fisher, who is Cyborg in Justice League. He is an incredible human being and he was super fun to talk to, and you'll be able to check that out on the Black Girl Nerds website. Here at AfterBuzz, you can check me out Thursdays doing Gotham, which is Gotham. Hashtag it's Gotham. We don't know what's happening on that show, but it's amazing. Also, Animation Weekly is on Sundays, but probably moving soon. But this week we have Porky Pig, the voice of, coming into the studio. I'm so excited because this is a legendary moment. Yeah, Tari knows the significance. It's going to be amazing, and we're hoping to bring you a whole bunch of new guests. I'm hoping to do a bunch of live streams with you, including all of Disney's new shows, new Star vs. the Forces of Evil, new Big Hero 6 show, which I did. What? It's going to be amazing. So check all of that out.
What about you, Lucretia?
I'm Lucretia Lyon, guys. You can just find me at LacretiaLyon anywhere on the internet, since there is only one. And if you like horror movies, we've got a new Horror TV Weekly up right after the Supernatural After Show on this channel, guys. And I do both of those, so watch them.
And I'm Tari J. Miller. You can find me at Tari J, TariJay. You can also find me, yes, on Missing Out tomorrow, Tuesday. We're covering the 1981 classic Possession.
Zelowski's Possession. You guys, if you have not seen Possession, it is bonkers with three Bs.
Oh, yeah. Until next week, have a super time.
Bye.
Swamp off.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.